This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, today we are going to do something that I have never done before, which is preach and talk about and study a few verses from the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament. And the reason it's named Hebrews is because the writer, mostly ascribed to being the Apostle Paul, but some believe Apollos or Barnabas, but that's neither here nor there, was writing to a largely Jewish audience. So he had to take the Jewish theology and show how Christ was the fulfillment of all of the Jewish theology. And so we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. So what this means is the Father fully trusted his Son Jesus to carry out the mission, and he's reliable. He proves himself reliable. Jesus is reliable. That means, personally, for an application, we can rely on him, right? Well, you can trust him for anything and everything. Now, verse 14, he took on flesh and he lowered himself to be among us. Now, do not confuse his status with anything else other than the fact that he's God in the flesh. But what this teaches us is that we ourselves are not to be concerned with our status or our standing among anybody. And we're just supposed to do our jobs, be faithful where God has put us, and here's a tough one, not complain. So who among us is tempted, and I do not want to see a show of hands, who among us is tempted to complain about where we are? So what that means is be faithful. In the old phrase, I remember from the Jesus movement back in the 70s, bloom where you are planted. And so that means wherever you are, turn it into a ministry that glorifies Jesus. Even if you are a mechanic where you get your hands all greasy and gross during the course of the workday, give that to Jesus and make it a ministry instead of, I got to go to work again. And then I get home, and then I got to take a shower and all this, wipe all this grease off. Ew, you know, I'm sick of this. Don't do that. Because there is a way where if you fully trust the Lord with where he has put you, he can actually turn it into something that gives you a source of satisfaction. Because you have done your work well, you have been faithful where you are, and you have glorified him because of the Spirit working through you. And oftentimes, and I know this is true for me as well, it's not me, it's Jesus working through me. And I'm saying, Lord, if that was of you, feel free anytime to take over and do the talking for me. Because I know that I have hoof and mouth disease. Anybody know what that is? So open your mouth and insert your foot and then bite down hard and chew vigorously. That's, many of us have that problem. Let's move on to verse 15. It says there that, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But if we back up a little bit from verse 14, Jesus also defeated death. He defeated the one who has the power of death. And so that means, like that t-shirt from a few years ago, no fear. We don't have to fear death, although many of us may still fear death simply because it's unknown. We still do not know what's, you know, fully what's on the other side. By faith, we believe that, like Paul said, when we leave this body, we are going to be with the Lord. Continuing with verse 15, he came to release those who were subject to bondage. Bondage means something like being afraid, being nervous and fearful, being frustrated, or having some habit that we're trying to overcome that we just can't shake and get rid of. My gosh, I can't believe I did that again. I've been trying and trying and trying to overcome that. That's bondage. And so he died on the cross to break us free from that bondage so we can have victory over it. So what we have to do to accomplish that victory is turn that issue over to the Lord and give it to him and don't take it back. If he's inviting you into his room where the party is going on and you've got a heavy backpack, leave that backpack at the door, and when you come back out of the party, don't pick it up again. Leave it there, because he wants to deliver us from our bondage. Now, verse 16, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Jesus came to help his people. He gives his help to those who are his. He doesn't have to worry about the angels because they're okay. But there's another thing we need to keep in mind here, is that the angels couldn't come and do what Jesus did. And that's because they have not been incarnate in human form, except for some people believe they've seen angels, and that's okay. But Jesus came, and he is the one who helps us when we have any issue that we need to bring to him. And don't be deceived into thinking that any problem you have is too insignificant for the Lord. Yeah, you know, like, I don't want to bother the Lord with that. You know, he's got more important things to worry about. You know, but no, in his infinite intelligence and his infinite ability and his omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, he is fully capable of taking care of what we're frustrated about, as well as all the wars that are taking place, all the famines and all these other things. But he's also willing to help us find our car keys. That sounds like it's trivial, but I remember one time where someone I love dearly lost her keys and misplaced them and couldn't find them. We looked all over that house we were living in, and we looked and we looked and we looked, and she said, I've already looked in the car. And so I said, well, I'm going to go out and check again. And I went out there, opened the door, and I said, Lord, help me to find these keys, because she needs them. And I heard this little voice say, look in the trash bag. And I looked in the trash bag, and sure enough, there they were. You see, God is willing to help us with even the most, what we consider insignificant thing, because his power is endless, and he has a power over any of those things that we are pretty sure in our limited understanding that he's too big for this. So, okay. Now, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So he came and he was serving as a servant. So what is servanthood? Well, there's a good story here. And there's this legend of a desert wanderer who found a crystal spring of unsurpassed freshness. The water was so pure, he decided to bring some back to his king. Barely satisfying his own thirst, he filled that leather bottle with that beautiful clear liquid that was so fresh and cool, but he carried it many days beneath the desert sun before he got to the palace. And when he finally laid his offering at the feet of the king, the water had become stale and rank due to the old container in which it had been stored and through several days of walking through the desert heat. But the king would not let this faithful subject even imagine that it was unfit for use. He tasted it with an expression of gratitude and delight, and he sent away the loyal heart filled with gladness, believing that he had done such a wonderful deed. And after he had left the room, the king's aides sampled the water and were surprised at how brackish and disgusting it tasted. And some of them even spit it out. He said, "My king, how could you pretend that you enjoyed this water? It's gross." And the king said, "Ah, it was not the water that I tasted, but the love that prompted the offering." Many times our service is marked by multiplied imperfections, but the master looks at our motives and says, "It is good." So who were the servants in this story? And I would tell you, both of them. Because the king lowered himself to acknowledge the gift for its sweetness, because that wanderer had done that for him. Out of love, that wanderer wanted to serve his king and bring back this fresh, beautiful water. But in terms of servanthood, the wanderer was also a servant, because he gave willingly and made the sacrifice to give. And so for our part, what that teaches us is to have gratitude, an attitude of gratitude for anyone who would do something for us out of a desire to serve and receive the gift with gladness because of the heart that was behind the one who gave it. Amen? And receive it with gladness and joy because of the heart of the person who says, "I want to do this for someone who I care about." So receive the gift, and even if you hate it, act like you love it and then take care of it later. But receive it with the heart with which it was offered. Never turn down a gift that's being given out of love. Okay? Now, the Word of God tells us that there is a solid biblical foundation for what it means to have a servant mentality. And has anyone here heard of Chuck Swindoll, the preacher? Okay. He tells us here that we need to get some handles on what's involved in pulling it off. For starters, let's suggest that there are three basic ingredients of servanthood. There's giving, forgiving, and forgetting. The two passages come to mind are Philippians 2, 3 through 4, which is, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." In Galatians 5:13, For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Once you and I make up our minds to implement the truth of these passages, these three basics will begin to emerge. Instead of always thinking about receiving, we'll start looking for ways to give. Instead of holding grudges against those who offend us, we'll be anxious to forgive. And instead of keeping a record of what we've done or who we've helped, we'll take delight in forgetting the deed that we've done and being virtually unnoticed. Our hunger for public recognition will diminish in significance. And as a servant of Christ, we need to be willing to practice these three things. And I have an ouch story here. Because I, at one time, did, I can't remember actually what the deed was, but I, you know, maybe gave something back that somebody had stolen, and I thought, well, you know, I need to return this. So I did. And as a result, you know, doing that good deed and being honest and all of that, my dad told me on the way home from church one time, and this has been a long time ago, he said, son, I told my Sunday school class today about your story, or told him your story about what you'd done and that honesty that you showed. And they were all thrilled. Well, about 2 weeks later, I did another good deed, and my dad knew about it. And on the way home from church, I said, Dad, did you tell your Sunday school class again about that good deed I did? And he said, no, son, are you only doing this stuff because you want me to give you credit for it? And that was the ouch moment. Because I said, oh, yeah, I need to be more humble and do good, not so people will notice or give me credit, but because just because it's the right thing to do. And be resolved that I'm going to be satisfied with the Lord's approval. Where Jesus says, you know, when you do a good deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Just go do it. And basically, shut up about it. Don't blow trumpets when you're giving alms or whatever. Don't do all that just to get attention. Do the good thing because it's what the Lord would have us do. And so, what we need to think about is how this stuff today, that in the passage we've looked at, what it teaches us. And the first one is be content where God puts us. What we also need to do is submit to legitimate authority. And then we need to adopt and have the servant's heart and the joy that goes with that. Because if we're working to have the mind of Christ, he had the attitude of a servant. And he did not look for credit. I mean, every time he healed somebody, Jesus didn't look up to heaven and say, hey, Father, did you see what I did? He just did it because it was the right thing to do. And also because it fulfilled his call to be prophet, priest, and king as our Messiah. So let's remember these things and ask God for the strength to put them into practice and live that way because we're still working to have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.